This reminds me of my first experience in radio. It was back in the early 80s.
People with disability and mental health.
There's always controversy with us.
The mysteries of the mind and consciousness.
And we might get to the bottom of something, or we might start something new.
We're going to run the gamut and we're going to have a good time.
Waking Braves. No, not Waking Braves. We're Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves?
Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Breaking Waves. I'm Riley.
And I'm John.
Today, we're bringing you a show all about eternity. Can there really be such a thing as forever? Let's find out.
Checking by the signs in the corridor. There's a word that makes me dizzy. It's a hell of a long time. Eternity.
Yeah, it's like the idea of infinity or forever. It implies that there's no end.
Yeah, it's a bit tough. You know, I think it's there are ideas that are very difficult to get your head around.
Well, can there really be such a thing as eternity?
Not in the world I live in. I've never come across it. It's like nothing. I've never found nothing anywhere, and I've looked and I've heard lots of talk about nothingness, but everywhere I've looked, there's always something. There's always gas in a beaker or a container. Even if there's nothing else in there's always something in there.
Let's look into how this word is defined. And according to the Cambridge Dictionary Online, the first thing they offer is time that never ends and has no limits.
Right, so it is a reference to time.
Yeah, what seems to come up is stuff to do with unending time or
endless
religious time. Ideas of endless life, but those two things overlap as well, so... You've got the timelessness and the theological.
Yeah, does it even fit in our world where the universe ends with another Big Bang?
Well, I suppose given that eternity is such a... As you say, John, it's a concept that's outside of our... lived experience.
Yeah, it's like that number infinity that you get introduced to when you're a little kid. That number that goes on forever, infinitely large. It's you kind of get the idea of it, but you can't really fit that number inside your head.
It's not quantifiable, and it makes sense why eternity is associated with religious ideas, because I suppose it does speak to something transcendent of the entropy of our everyday existence.
Yeah, here's the weird thing, though. In physics, that number's right there. They're constantly messing around with repeating numbers and infinities in mathematics. And zero-point energy is an example of that. A black hole's another one. Infinitely small, massive thing. Or... they love to use this term. The weird thing is, there isn't any real-world example of an infinity that I can think of. And that is because, by definition, anything that's infinite is ongoing. So how would you know whether anything in this world is part of an infinite process without getting to the end of it, which never comes? So it's you're really chasing a phantom.
Chasing the gold at the end of the rainbow. Well,
chasing the energy at the end of the zero.
Yeah, and I think, as you say, because by its definition the ending is not something that could be found, to accept that it's not going to end, or to accept the existence of, like, infinity is an act of faith.
Absolutely. I think the way I've unpacked that in the past, because I grew up in a religious context, and this idea of heaven and an eternal afterlife in heaven is what all Christian people look forward to. The way that I understood that when I was younger is that time is part of the world we live in. And that once you move to the heavenly realm, you're not talking about the same kind of time. Time that we know ends at our death, and possibly something else starts at that point. I think that's the way I squared it away, whether that makes sense to anyone else. So let's play some Forever music, Riley. What do we have? It goes on forever.
Well,
elevator music.
Seemingly, the James Bond franchise goes on forever. I mean, it's...
You've been going for a while now. Yeah. How can you prove that that's not forever?
Exactly. Yeah. Because it, you know...
Forever things have a beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe some of them don't have a beginning either. They're even harder to track down. What do we have?
Shirley,
what can we play them?
Yeah, Shirley Bassey.
Nice.
Diamonds Are Forever.
I work with Shirley Bassey.
Diamonds are forever. Hold one up and then caress it. Touch it, stroke it and undress it. I can see every part, nothing hides in the heart to hurt me. I don't need love.
On a vineyard in the Hunter Valley. I tell a lie. It was in a vineyard, but it was in the Barossa Valley.
Oh yeah.
And it was during the hottest heat wave I've ever experienced, and I had to work in it outside. It was 50 degrees in the shade.
Oh gosh.
But it was a great gig, and she was absolutely magnificent. I think she was even in her 80s when she performed, but she was great.
Sparkling round my little finger.
If we go to the interwebs for some etymology, the origins of this word, it's old French, but derived from Latin, aeternitas, aeternitas, from aeternus, without beginning or end. There you go. Which is interesting because it refers to the beginning of the phenomena.
What year? The beginning of eternity.
Diamonds are forever, forever, forever. Diamonds are forever, 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 forever. And ever.
Now, there's a song by Bob Dylan called Forever Young, which has been covered by a whole lot of people. And it's about eternal life, living forever, which is kind of like the Philosopher's Stone in alchemy, the search for the fountain of youth, for eternal life. And it's also the province of a lot of religions concern themselves with these ideas.
Yeah. And there's certain ideas, like whether people believe in an afterlife that is eternal, or whether people believe in a constant reincarnation cycle. But there is the idea that just because someone's life in their sort of corporeal form will end, there's another aspect of them that doesn't end and just keeps changing, or the environment, the shape that it takes keeps changing.
Yeah, well, you can kind of understand the need for religions to explain death. because everyone knows, they see it. We see it, we all know we're going to die, and we all wonder about what's going to happen. And I think most of the religions I've come across, that's a big part of their storyline and what they're about, is preparation and an awareness of the whole storyline about where you're going.
Mm.
Buddhism's a bit different. I mean, some people say it's not even a religion.
More of a philosophy.
Yeah.
It's interesting how, you know, when we were looking up the definitions, we're presented with... Some websites present the definition of eternity as, on the one hand, a theological, religious concept, and then the time idea is separate. But of course, the more we talk about it, the more I see that those two things are interlinked. And, you know, it speaks to this idea that, yeah, in these spiritual realms, there are different relationships with time. Some people believe that time is not a linear thing, but actually it's all happening all at once, and so things going on in the present influence the past. And
yeah, certainly there are some theories in physics where that's the case. They have these charts which kind of plot out everything, events, and they kind of say you can get to any of them. They're all, the whole timeline is kind of like this illusion or something. None of it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, for me, like, my relationship with, like, scientific concepts is, like, the same as religious concepts or spiritual concepts. Like, it's all, I'm very agnostic about all of it. And...
Yeah, because it comes back to faith, even though the scientists probably wouldn't like to admit that they're engaging in a faith-based practice. I think a lot of the foundations of a lot of scientific theories are faith-based.
Mm.
They're just statements about laws.
Yeah.
Supposedly God's laws written by men. So we have... We have Einsteinian relativity, and in Einsteinian relativity, time is thought of as a dimension of space, and this idea has kind of permeated its way into our culture, and you'll hear it referenced a lot in the way people talk about time, as if it's something that's actually is a thing that you can actually manipulate. Like a piece of matter. In my understanding, time is actually all about the fact that all matter is in motion, and motion is really a function of position in space. And so to go back in time, you would need to rearrange all the matter of the universe back to where it was, wherever you want to go back to. And how are you going to do that?
It's beyond our comprehension.
Perhaps it's possible, but I don't think it's not anything that we can do in our little world. If you watched the fireworks in Sydney in the year 2000, you would have seen eternity scrawled in script, copper plate across the harbour bridge.
But what does it mean?
What does it mean? The eternity guy is a story which I first heard about when I was, I think when I first moved to Sydney, when I came to Sydney to boarding school. And I vaguely remember seeing eternity written, but I've recently, in my readings, research, apparently there's only two known copies of his writings that remain. One of them's on a bit of paper that he gave to someone, and the other one is in the bell tower at the post office in George Street. But I thought I remember seeing it at Central Station in the 80s. But interestingly, there is a narrative and a whole storyline about the guy that did it now.
We haven't really explained what it is.
No, what we're talking about is the word eternity written all over Sydney. in yellow chalk from, I think, from the 1930s up to about the 1950s, I think. So for quite a long period of time. You ever heard of this story, Riley?
Definitely. My mum told me about it when I was a kid. It's kind of quite an urban legend in a way, but interestingly enough, I thought that until I talked to you today, and because you'd done some research on this, I thought that a core part of this story was that no one knows who wrote it.
Yeah, that was my understanding of the story up until today when I started looking. And it's not something I've really researched at all, but certainly I remember when I first started to hear about this myth or this story, or it wasn't known. That was part of the story.
But the internet is rewriting history, it seems.
Well, yeah, because when I did a search, this guy's picture actually came up with a name, and you know, telling a story about this guy and who he was. And then I did some more look, and the same story came up. And then there were all kinds of links to this guy and all about his life.
And they say this man's name was Arthur Stace.
Arthur the alcoholic. What a claim to fame. Apparently illiterate too. The story is that upon his conversion, he listened to a sermon where the preacher talked about eternity, and he was so moved and affected by this sermon and this concept of eternity that he started writing it. He must have got someone to teach him how to write it, or maybe he looked it up somewhere. But that's the story.
A man obsessed.
Yeah, but the weird thing is, you know, perhaps that's just the way the world was back before the internet. Information just wasn't that hard. Information, it was, tell us what it was like.
Information was less easily accessible? Or is that what you were going to say? Or
yeah, well, and then I thought, well, is that right?
Yeah.
Certainly, well, it was accessible in different ways. I mean, there were libraries and there were people to talk to, but now you got the screen and you got Google. It seems to all come from there, which supposedly links up to all these other sources of information, but it's kind of like information overload these days.
Yeah, yeah. So it's more immediate.
It's almost infinite. Seems like it.
But it's not.
So for about 30 years, he was writing this script all over Sydney and nobody knew who was doing it. And actually, apparently the council didn't like it at all and went after him and tried to, it made a big deal about it. But after a while, it started to normalise. People just accepted it. And in fact, people apparently used to step over it and walk around it whenever they saw it. It was kind of a embrace. It became a cultural sort of thing.
A cultural
mystery.
Yes.
Really. And then, so the story goes, one of the priests from one of the churches spotted somebody writing on the ground in chalk and asked this fellow if he was the eternity guy, and he said yes. So that's the story.
It speaks to how much this word and this concept resonates with people as well, that there was this interest in it, because it's not like he was writing something like bum or something like, you know, that wouldn't have had the same kind of draw for people.
No, I think, you know, we are a Christian society, and I think that most people would have picked up on the reference, the religious
yes,
undertones to the idea of what that word was actually trying to say, perhaps.
Yeah.
Was speaking to people.
Earlier in the program, we mentioned Eternus, and it's interesting to note that this was actually a mythological child god figure who is eternally young. And I think this leads us into Carl Jung, which when the term is used to describe an older person whose emotional life remains underdeveloped. And in the modern kind of pop psychology, this is referred to as the Peter Pan syndrome.
The timeless story of a boy who never grows up and a magical journey to a land where dreams come true.
Oh, Peter, you saved my life.
The original Peter Pan.
And what was Peter Pan like in the story? Well, he's like this character, as I say, like he wants independence, freedom, doesn't want boundaries and limits and restrictions. Now, there is the positive side to this character as well, this idea of redemptive child and hope for the future. But I remember as a kid, I found the way that the Peter Pan story, the original novel by J.M. Barrie from 1904, it's quite different to the Disney movie, and I found the end of the story quite upsetting because in the story, he has this girl that he's in love with, Wendy, who he takes from our world into Neverland, and she has this adventure there, but then at the end of the story, she goes off back into reality, and so she gets to grow up and he doesn't. And at the end of the story, he comes back into our world to visit her when she's grown up, but he feels all this like shame and embarrassment about the fact that she's turned into an adult, but he's remained a child. So at the end of the story, he just hides from her and doesn't approach her. And I remember as a kid that I found that upsetting. One could say that a darker celebrity manifestation of this syndrome on the world stage would be Michael Jackson. And of course, he was directly signaling Peter Pan when he named his idyllic children's playground that he built Neverland. So he was wholeheartedly embracing the Peter Pan thing.
That's crazy. There's a psychological condition, like a mental disorder called Peter Pan syndrome.
Woo! Check it! Do, do!
I think I might have that. To a degree, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Perhaps all men have the Peter Pan syndrome to some degree.
Mm. Yeah, I think I have it as well. And now, Breaking Waves listeners, for your literary pleasure, I have a poem for you called The World by Henry Vaughan. And the reason I chose it is because it fits into the topic, because the first line, it begins with, I saw eternity the other night, like a great ring of pure and endless light, all calm as it was bright, and round beneath it time in hours, days, years, driven by the spheres, like a vast shadow moved in which the world and all her train were hurled.
Very nice. And what I got from that was the idea that probably the closest we can get to anything eternal is to look upwards into the sky.
That's right, because while things here die, the sun and the moon seem to appear no matter what happens down here.
So like clockwork, the sky clock, the luminaries, celestial bodies, the procession above us, the real clock. Tick tock, tick tock, I hear the sound of another clock.
That's right, John, and like most things in this realm of the mortals, Breaking Waves probably isn't going to be here for eternity, but we plan to stick around for a while.
So stick with us.
And we'll be back next time. Bye-bye for now. To eternity, forever and always.
You're listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The Community Broadcasting Foundation resources community-owned and operated media stations just like this one that connect people and tell vital, local stories so that we all enjoy a more vibrant, inclusive Australian culture and healthy democracy. Find out more about our work at cbf.com.au.